Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 26. This is the reading of God's word. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. And I do not know which to choose. But I am hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time. We pray that your word will be preached correctly, and your people, all of us, will understand and believe, and that we may obey your word to bring glory and honor to you. And Father, we pray that Jesus will be exalted, that he will be preached, and that he will be worshipped. As we hear your word, let our faith grow. Let us grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us that we may be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray all this in his name. Amen. We just finished verse 21 last time. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. For if we live for the Lord, or if we die for the Lord. To die or to live is not important, but whether by life or by death, Paul's desire was that Jesus Christ will be exalted. If Paul lives longer, then he will live his life for Jesus Christ. If he dies, then he will go to heaven and live with Christ Jesus forever and ever. For Paul, it is not about him. It is always about Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, it is not about us. It is about Christ. We are not the center. Christ is. Verses 22 through 24. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. And I do not know which to choose. But I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ. For that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Paul says, I do not know which to choose. To live more here on earth or to die and be with Christ. Because both are desirable and pleasing. For to Paul, to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. He is so certain that if he lives longer, then his labor will be fruitful. Now, this is not being arrogant. But it is the certainty of his faith. Some people might read that and say, oh, Paul is very arrogant. And there are actually many people who say that kind of stuff. But once you have the faith that Paul had, you cannot say any other way. Remember what he said in chapter 1, verse 6, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." He knows that how long that he will live here on earth really doesn't matter. But the end is certain, that Jesus will perfect his work in Paul. Chapter 2, verse 16, he said, "Holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain, nor toil in vain." Again, not arrogant statement, but the certainty of his faith. Because of what Jesus has done, what he has accomplished, he knows that his life, it will never be a failure. All that he does will not be in vain. Not because he's so great, but because of Christ. And this is the same faith that we have. You will not be a failure. I don't care how the world judges you. You will see when you get to heaven, you will be perfect. And all that you have done and how, you know, mediocre those were that you did for God, it will not be in vain. And this is not just for Paul, but all of us who are in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, all of you, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." Be confident of that. That whatever you did in faith, even though it's never perfect, because of Christ and what he has accomplished, it will not be in vain. And this is the confidence we have. And now, you know, this kind of faith will never make you arrogant. Because if you become arrogant, then you still don't understand. It's not because you're great, it's because of Christ. And if it is because of Christ, how can you be arrogant? Which means arrogant people, they do not understand the gospel. Because gospel will never make you arrogant. Verses 25 and 26, "Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all, for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again." I like ESV's translation of verse 26. It says, "So that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again." Or even NIV, "So that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me." So, if you're wondering what that verse 26 means, as I read from NASB. Maybe you could look at ESV or NIV. It makes it a little bit more clear. So that their joy in the Lord Jesus will abound because of what happens to Paul, that he came to them. What he's saying is this, that if I continue to live, then it will be gain for your progress and joy in the faith. God will use me in accomplishing, chapter 1, verse 6, in you. He who began a good work in you will finish, it will perfect it. So if I live longer, God will use me to accomplish that chapter 1, verse 6 in you. And because of me, your proud confidence or your joy in Christ will overflow. You will boast more and more about what Christ has done for me. It is like what Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 24, they were glorifying God because of me. That is what he's saying. So if I live, then all is gain. So that's one good choice. If I choose to live longer. But he also says, even if I die, it is still gain. Because to die means, verse 23b, to depart and be with Christ. So that, dying and go to heaven and be with Christ, that is, for me, very much better, he says. Very much better. You know, abundancy of words there. Very better. Very much better. Now, this is the mind of every Christian. Perhaps not perfect, but everyone who loves Christ wants to be with him. I mean, that is just obvious. Because even non-Christians want to be with someone they love. I mean, this is what being human being is all about. You want to be with someone that you love, and you love Christ more than anything, then of course you want to be with him. Unless you don't love him more than everything, then there's something else that you love more, then of course you're going to be with that. This is not something you force. This is just how you are. And Christians, God has given that heart that start loving Christ. Small at first, and it will grow. And it will not be perfect love until we get to heaven, but growing love. So Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 through 8, therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. If I am still live with this body here on earth, then means that I am apart from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Now, of course, God is with us even when we are still living here on earth, but here, Paul, when he says, I am with the Lord, it is much more intimate being with the Lord than here. Yes, through his Spirit, he is with us. But there, it's more like face to face with us. Yeah, you sound crazy. when you start telling others about your inmost desires. You say, I want to die and be with my God. And they're going to look at you funny. Even some Christians will look at you funny. But how else can you be if Jesus is everything to you? But suicide is sin. If you truly love Christ, you will not kill yourself. You wait until He calls. But that desire to be with Him is there. But this is enjoying the heavenly freedom in Jesus Christ. You know, when you are truly free from death, then you are really free. Everybody is afraid of death. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14b through 15. The author says that Jesus came to do this, what? That through death He might render powerless Him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. So non-Christians' life is all about that, being slave to death, the fear of death. But you're free from that, because to you, even death is gain. We are truly free from death and free from this world. We are the servants of Jesus Christ, the prisoners of Jesus Christ, possessed and captivated by our Lord Jesus Christ. We truly love Him and want to be with Him, and we are truly free from the fear of death. And that is what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. Yeah, what we fear is God and their holy fear, not just being terrified because you think you're going to be judged by God. No, but holy fear. And there's nothing else out there that you should fear, because worst thing they could do is kill you. And even that is gain. Don't be afraid. It's okay. And this is the privilege that we have as a Christian. While we live our lives here on earth, like verse Chapter 3, verse 20 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." So while we live here on earth, we eagerly wait for Jesus Christ. And when we die, we will be with Him, live with Him forever. So whether you die or live, it's all about Christ. Every single day, you wait for Him. You know, I don't know. It just became some of joke. It didn't start out as a joke in my family, but especially between me and my wife. You know, when we see clouds, some days, you know, those clouds look very strange, you know. Then we say, "Oh, is Jesus coming?" We look. Yeah, it just became joke now. Every time we see that kind of stuff now, we jokingly say it, but it's not all that joke. I mean, don't you think it will be greatest thing, even as we worship, that He comes down, that we will be able to meet Him? This is what our life here on earth and our eternal life are all about. Waiting for Christ, being with Christ. All the other things are secondary. And I'm not upset if my wife tells me that she loves Christ more than me. Of course she has to. I want her to love Christ more than me. Even me, to her, is secondary. As she, to me, is secondary. Christ is primary. But here, we see an astonishing thing here. And maybe you caught this, but think about this. This is even funny to some people. Paul is in a prison. And in the eyes of this world, whether Paul lives or dies is up to the Roman emperor. But here in our passage, even as he sits in a prison, Paul sounds like it is up to him. He chooses to live or to die. Isn't that astonishing? We already know that Paul knows that all is up to God. Not the Roman emperor or anybody in this universe. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11, Paul said, God is who works all things after the counsel of his will. Jesus Christ is in control of all things, not the Roman emperor or anybody else. Oh yeah, nobody. Nobody is in control except Jesus Christ. Your life is in his hands. And to Paul, whatever his Lord has decided for him, he is pleased to go through with it. If Jesus has decided that Paul will live on, then fine. Happily to do so. If Jesus decided that Paul would die, then fine. Paul is certain that God works all things together for his good, to make him more and more like Jesus Christ. So whatever happens, well, it doesn't matter to Paul. Because he knows what is the truth. He knows what is really going on. Who is in control? Here, when he says that he does not know what to choose, he means that he does not know what to ask for when he prays to God who works all things after the counsel of his will. What would I ask when I pray to God? To live or to die. That's what he's, you know, struggling with, if you want to use that word, struggle. Yeah. It's nothing about what Roman emperor can do or whatever. You're free. Completely free from this world. And you know what might happen, that it is God's decision. And Paul is happy with this. You know, this is why Christianity, this cannot be popular in this world. Doesn't it sound like, you know, brainwashing you, just do whatever God says? What can you do when you love Christ? When you have that sweet fellowship with him? And that you are so certain that he loves you, that he will work all things for your good. What do you do when you know and you understand that fellowship with Christ is better than life itself? What can you do? Yeah, so you really need to understand where Paul is coming from. He's not being arrogant. He's not being anything like that. It's just honest Paul telling you honestly how he feels and what he desires. Chapter 2, verse 24, he said, "And I trust in the Lord that I myself also will be coming shortly." See, I will go to you shortly, but only in the Lord. If it is his will, then I will do this and that. That is what he's saying. Romans chapter 1 verse 10. Always in my prayers, making requests, if perhaps now, at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. By will of God, that I may succeed in coming to you. So this is given for Paul. Only if it is God's will, things will happen. So with that, he says, I do not know what to choose. As if he is in complete control. Not Roman emperor. And he says, verse 25, convinced of this. What is he convinced of? Paul living on will be more beneficial to the Philippian congregation. And it will be for their progress and joy in the faith. And it will cause them to rejoice in God more and more. Convinced of all this, I choose to live on and to be with you, he says. And that is what he will ask of God. Now, we are not certain that Paul was released from the Roman prison after this and went to Philippi again. Some people believe that Paul was released for a while, for a short time, and went on to his fourth missionary journey, thus believe that Paul was in the Roman prison twice. So he was released just short time, so fourth missionary journey, and he went to Philippi, then he was captured again and came to Rome, and that's when he died. Some people believe that. Now, we cannot know this for sure. But if you go to 2 Timothy, we believe that 2 Timothy was written later than Philippians, or however you believe, if it might be at the same time, same prison. But 2 Timothy, go to chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. He says, and if both letters are written at the same prison, then this is a little bit strange, because here his tone is completely different. Chapter 4, verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. So he says that time to die is come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. So can he say this and what he says in Philippians at the same place, at the same time? But again, we cannot know for sure. Some people believe that's what happened, that he was captured twice in Rome. But in Philippians, he says, I'm convinced of this, that I will live longer and be with you. Quite different thing in Timothy. But both are prison letters, we call it prison letters. That these are letters that Paul wrote in the prison. Anyway, we will never know whether he did or not. But really doesn't matter. But another thing this says, they're convinced of this. This tells us that Paul did not come to his conclusion by some special revelation from God to him as an apostle. When he says convinced of this, we know that he thought about a lot of things. He came to his conclusion by him considering all the truths that he knows and he believes, which you and I could also do. Only by the Bible, you know the will of God. And compared to what the Bible tells us, you will know what God wants you to do. And a lot of times, he will only teach us the principle. He will not get into details. But when you do certain things, because you believe that you are following the principle that the Bible teaches you, and you do that by your faith, then go ahead. Do it with all your might. And please consider things. And according to the truth that you know, that you're convinced of what you do is what God wants you to do. Otherwise, why are you doing it? If you're not convinced that that is what God wants you to do, why are you doing it? Now, conclusion to this sermon. And some people were actually expressing their joy that my sermon got shorter these days. And continue to express your joy so that it doesn't matter actually. But very important conclusion. What Paul is doing here in our passage is actually Paul living out the life of Christ. Nothing more than that or less than that. And you have to understand Paul this way because that is how Paul was. All the way to the end, Paul is all about Jesus Christ. That his desire is to proclaim Christ and to live the very life of Christ. Imitate Christ. Be more like Christ. He's participating in the life of Christ, imitating Christ. See, this is the thing. Personally, to Paul wants to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. To die is gain for Paul. But he would postpone being with Christ so that he is able to live for the gain of the other people. To live on is, verse 24b, more necessary for your sake. Now, to die and go to Christ is gain for me. But if I live on, is gain for others. Now it's easy for Paul to choose because he wants to imitate Christ. He lives for the others. This is the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 to 5. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Do you understand what Paul is doing here? He's comparing what is good for me and what is good for others. And obviously, what he chooses is good for others. That's why he wants to stay on, live longer. But that is gain for the others. This is what Paul is doing. Being more and more like Christ. Jesus Christ also left heaven. Which do you think will be better for Jesus Christ? Staying in heaven with his Father or coming to this earth to suffer and die? Which will be more gain to him? But Jesus comes as a man to suffer and die for your gain. Because he's more interested in your affairs than his own. And this is what Paul is doing. Jesus denies himself and takes up his cross for the gain of the others, for your gain. He has considered you more important than himself. Your interests more important than his. And this is exactly why Paul chooses what he chooses. To Paul, to live is Christ. Do you understand that? It's all about Christ. Christ's life is his life, thus postponing heaven and lives for the gain of others, for their progress and joy in the faith. Or, according to chapter 1, verse 12, the progress of the gospel. And brothers and sisters in Christ, I need you to do the same. Because the gospel is not just for Paul, but for all of us. For us also. For you also. To depart and being with Christ is very much better. But until the Lord Jesus Christ calls us, we live our lives for the progress and joy in the faith of the others. We live on for the gain of other Christians, other people. Yes, we have work to do. But that work is not for you, for your gain. You don't go out and make money for your gain. Man, the world is just completely opposite of what the gospel says. It's not about you. It's about Christ. So what do we choose? Like Paul, we choose to live for the gain of other people. Because we live to be more and more like Jesus Christ. Because for us, to live is Christ. Paul is not only showing his life to you, he's showing your life to you. You must believe, because it's all by faith. If you do not believe that this is your life, then even if you live this life, you're faking it. It has to come from your faith. You must believe. Isn't this wonderful? Everything we do is Christ. Any decision that you would make is about Christ. Because for us to live is Christ. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Oh, wonderful gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who denied himself, take up his cross, who considered us more important than himself, our affairs more important than his. And that is what the gospel is all about. And that is what our life is all about. Let us consider others more important than ourselves. Let us consider the affairs of others more important than our own lives, own affairs. Let us live. Until you call us, let us live for the gain of the others, so that we may be able to witness that for us to live is Christ. We thank you. We love you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.